Thank you for joining me and all of the other listeners to God Is Coast to Coast in the United States on the radio and all around the world on the podcast. Here's the question you hear me ask often. What does Jesus teach us about God? The Bible offers us a plethora, many answers. But at present, we've discovered this truth. Jesus teaches us that God commands all of us to repent. God commands repentance. And thus far, in more than a week of conversation, we've seen that to repent means that we repent with our whole being, our emotions, our minds, and our wills. We've discussed the emotional and mental elements of this, and today let's talk about the human will. But first, following up from yesterday, I do want to give you two more biblical texts to consider when you use your mind to think about repentance in the mind. The New Testament Greek word for repent means to change one's mind. So as you change your mind about sin, as you decide to obey God rather than obey the devil, consider first Acts chapter 26 and verse 20b. You've got to know this scripture, so I encourage you to write it down. Acts chapter 26 and verse 20b. I'll read it for you. Repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. When we read the whole of chapter 26, we will see that this is how the Apostle Paul described the content of his message to those he encountered after his own conversion from sin, his own repentance into the ministry Christ called him to. The Apostle Paul preached to the Jews and the Gentiles and said, "Repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance." And that is exactly what repentance is, as we have said. To repent is to turn from evil and to return to God, and it results in a change of behavior. Those who repent then perform deeds. We act in ways appropriate to repentance. I really want to be sure you understand that repent means to change one's mind, but it is not giving merely intellectual assent to a concept of repentance. This is not conceptual. It is, in reality, changing how one acts in one's daily life. And the second New Testament text that interests me is found in Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. In Titus 1 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul, whom I have just mentioned, wrote to Titus and said, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled." In particular, notice the connection Paul makes between the mind and the conscience. All people have a conscience. God gives this to everyone who has ever lived. And the conscience is designed as an internal warning system, a kind of alarm system to the soul. Our consciences, for example, tell us when sin approaches and blast that internal piercing sound. Run, flee, get up and move, rush to the Word of God, resist, cry out to Jesus, the devil is here, he's in this, alert, alert, alert. This is the conscience. And the Apostle Paul says the mind informs the conscience. Therefore, if there is no repentance of sin in the mind, no changing one's mind about sin, then your conscience is muted. You've successfully, yet tragically, silenced the alarm, unplugged it, and damaged it such that you'll now sin with abandon, sin without caring about the consequences, and you'll sin against the God who created you to the point that you'll be totally separated from Him, and you won't even care. Can you silence your God-given conscience? Yes, you can. Countless billions have done exactly that. By far, the majority of the people in the world today have silenced their conscience. Like Paul wrote to Titus, "To those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled." The unbelieving, that is a person who is not a genuine Christian as far as Christ is concerned. The defiled person, those who have never repented of sin, both their minds and their consciences are ruined. And we see the effects of this in the society every single day. I hear social commentators ask with amazement, "What has happened? Why has the world gone so crazy?" I heard it just the other day from two elderly gentlemen talking at a Dunkin' Donuts. I stopped in for one of their espressos, which are acceptable. Anyway, both of these men were stunned at how bad things have gotten. But I know why. You know why. All who accept the word of God to be true know why. Our world is full of people who are defiled by their sin, unbelieving, not pure. And it is both their minds and their consciences that are corrupted. And then they act out, and so we have a world that has gone crazy. And I raise Titus 1:15 because often when Christians hear the meaning for the Greek word repent means to change one's mind about sin, they deduce that it's not really a big deal. Many Christians keep repentance as only a mental exercise. There is no transformed life, but the Bible makes it abundantly clear, and I've been sharing these scriptures with you all week, that to repent is more than to play a mental mind game with God. Listen to what theologian Louis Burkhoff says about this in his diamond of a book, Systematic Theology. Burkhoff writes of the word repent, quote, "While maintaining that the word denotes primarily a change of mind, we should not lose sight of the fact that its meaning is not limited to the intellectual, theoretical consciousness, but also includes the moral consciousness, the conscience. Both the mind and the conscience are defiled." Titus 1:15, and when a person's mind is changed, he not only receives new knowledge, but the direction of his conscious life, its moral quality, is also changed. That's theologian Louis Burkhoff on repentance. And yes, that's theology, but do not get lost in hearing it. Let me just give you the end of these wise words again. When a person's mind is changed, he not only receives new knowledge, but the direction of his conscious life, its moral quality, is also changed. Yes, that is what I've been trying to communicate to you in linking repentance to your mind. When a person changes their mind about sin, that is, when one repents, that results in a changed life. I believe you've got it. If you have questions about this, then you know what to do. Write to me. Please write. I stand by ready to answer your questions. Or if you prefer to disagree, I'm happy to receive your disagreement as well. But I want to move on now to talk about the will. And I'm not going to spend anywhere near as long on the will as I did on the emotions, the affections, and on the mind, the intellect. All that I want to do is tell you something you already know by your experience. Your will is strong. When it comes to sin, all people are strong-willed people. You have heard of the strong-willed child? Yeah, well, all of the children of God have tenacious wills when it comes to doing what displeases holy and righteous God. And the sins of omission, not doing that which pleases Him. We are all driven to sin in some form or another. According to the Bible, each and every one of us are sinners. This is why, back to our main text, Matthew 3:4, both John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ address those standing around them with the message, repent. Each man and woman there were sinners through and through. But here is some very good news. When we repent of sin as we turn to follow Christ, when we put our full faith in Him alone for salvation, rescue, and deliverance from sin, then we have hope that our will becomes subject to the Holy Spirit who takes up residence in us. Yes, for all genuinely saved Christian people, the Holy Spirit of the living God lives in us. This is a miracle, and it is true. And one of the functions of the Spirit is to bend our wills to God's will. Here, repentance is crucial. I'm talking to Christians now. Let's be honest, as always, don't you have those bad days and nights when you feel as if you cannot resist your own will to sin? You feel absolutely powerless. You do not stand a chance at changing your outward behavior because inwardly your will shrinks down and quivers in the corner while evil goes on a rampage within you. Sin is the drug. You are the addict. You cannot stop, even if you want to. Well, Mark, you're painting a pretty dark picture there. Yes, it's dark, all right, and it is also accurate. Brother and sister in Christ, this is when we must lean on the power of the Holy Spirit to instruct our will, to command our will, to force our will, to arrest our will, and to bring it into subjection to God. There's no way that in your own power, my own power, we like to call it willpower, that we're going to repent in the will unless God, through His Spirit, overpowers the human will. You think back on your own failures and you say, I agree. Pure willpower doesn't solve anything because sin is lodged up tightly in the will. So, what do you do at times like this? With the limited time I have left, let me offer you this practical move you can make. It is two short steps to it. First, literally, walk away from the temptation. Here's an example. You find yourself at home alone. You're watching TV, and there's a scene that includes nudity. You see it, and now, suddenly, you're in the mood for sex. Your spouse isn't there, or isn't also in the mood, or you are not married. Here's what you do. Shut the TV off. Get up. Change your clothes. Throw on a hat. Walk out the door and around the block, or get in your car and drive. Second, as you walk or as you drive, pray. Pray a desperate prayer. God, help me, please. Deliver me from this temptation. Cool me down. Remove the image from my mind that I saw on TV. Lord, my will, my strong will is to sin right now. Father, help me. Keep walking. Keep driving. Stay out there until the temptation passes and you can safely return home, having had the Holy Spirit subject your will to God's will. Oh, and quit watching TV. I am serious. Media, entertainment, the devil has his way with you these days and these nights because you just keep watching. Well, there's a practical answer to what we do when sin entices the will. We've got to get up and do something, and these steps I offer you are reflective of what? Yes, repentance, turning from evil to God, changing your mind about sin. And tomorrow on God Is, more on what it means to repent.